Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
God's been good to all of us through the years, hasn't he? Who senses God in the room? So beautiful. Across all our campuses, hello to Belmont, Port Kennedy, Scarborough and Bunbury. Can we just all give each other a big hand as well this morning? Wonderful hello to online. So good. But I just want every eye to be on Jesus this morning because it's just really all about him. Why don't you just bow your heads right across this room, across all our campuses right now, wherever you're watching this. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Thank you, Father. We give you all the glory, Jesus. We give you all the glory. Why don't you just lift your hands? We give you all the glory. Just take that posture of surrender to him. For he alone, he knows all about your issues. He knows all about where you've come from, why you're here, what you're grappling with. You might be watching through a screen at home right now because you're unwell. You might be in lockdown wherever you are, in Phnom Penh, Cork, around the world. Maybe you're watching from Melbourne. Whatever time zone you're in, you need to know that God transcends time and space and he parachutes himself into your reality. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down.
You sing.
Here I am to say that you're my God.
You're all together.
You're all together lovely, all together worthy, all together one.
Oh, he's here. Come on, sing. Here I am to worship.
So here I am to worship. Here I am, oh, to bow down.
That's right. You're my God. Come on, why don't you stand at your feet across all the rooms? You're all together.
You're all together, lovely, all together, worthy, all together, wonderful.
Come on, you sing. I'll never know how much it costs. Jesus, right across every campus today, every service, just begin to say thank you, Jesus. Come on, we're just begin to fill your atmosphere right now with compliments to the King of Kings. Come on, we're so good at complaining sometimes, it's good to just say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's begin to fill the room with that name above every other name. His name is Jesus. Come on, Belmont. Come on, Paul Kennedy. Come on, Scarborough, Bunbury. Come on, online. Cork and Phnom Penh, you're just begin to say thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Matthew 13, it says this. He told them another parable, this being Jesus. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like the yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. Can we give Jesus a big shout of praise for those two scriptures? Wonderful. Wherever you're watching this and in the room, come on, why don't you grab your seat, grab your seat. Turn to someone and say, are you ready for God to speak to you? Some of you go, I'm not sure. Just get ready for God to speak to you, amen. Well, thank God for the wonder of technology that's taking me across all our 10 live services in WA today, online as well. But today I want to speak to you on the thought, the legacy of the trailer. The legacy of the trailer. Some of you are going, where am I going with this? If you're in the room for the first time, particularly if you're watching me through the screen right now, don't freak out. Just stay in the service. Don't entertain leaving just yet. Okay, see how you go 10, 15 minutes in. And if I'm not cutting it for you, then maybe you can. But just stay in the room because I really feel like God wants to speak to us today. But in the first century, in ancient times, whenever people wanted to convey a spiritual truth, in Jesus in particular, in this account in the Gospels, he would use parables. Parables were stories that used earthly elements to convey deep spiritual truth. Because back in those days, it was before, you know, TV screens and before smartphones, where you could show someone, when you're trying to explain someone something, you show them on the phone, it looks like this, or, you know, where I went to, it looks like this. Whereas Jesus was trying to convey deep spiritual truth, he would use earthly things. And he said, the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, works like this. It's like mustard seed that a man took and he planted it and it becomes a tree, then all the birds nest in it. And he talks about the kingdom of God being like yeast. Tell me if you know what yeast is. It's just a little bit of yeast mixed into 60 pounds of flour. It becomes this massive batch of dough that, you know, communities can eat from, etc. What it speaks to is the fact that in the kingdom of God, the way God works, when you roll with Jesus, how it works is that God takes things that are seemingly insignificant to make them greatly significant. Come on, you follow me so far? How many of you know that we serve a God that takes that blows our minds? In many ways, he defies reason how something as insignificant as a mustard seed can eventually become this massive tree that birds can nest on it. However, the critical component of this conversation that Jesus gives with these two extremes, you know, yeast and big batch of dough and mustard seed and massive mustard tree with birds nesting in it. The critical component is the agent, the facilitator, the connector. The critical thing in that whole parable is the man or the woman. Without the man taking the mustard seed, planting it in the ground, that mustard seed will only remain as potential. How many of you know that we live in a world of unfulfilled potential? All around us is unfulfilled potential. The critical component, the critical player in this whole conversation of the parable is not the seed nor the tree, it's the man. What was Jesus saying? Jesus is saying that we all have a part to play in what he wants to do here on the earth. Come on, am I making myself clear? What Jesus is saying is that you make the difference. You are the difference here on the earth. You are the one that connects the seed to become the mustard tree. If the man said, nah, it's just I'm going to leave that seed alone, or I'm going to eat it, leave it on the shelf. How many of you know that no mustard tree will eventuate while that seed remains, come on, in the pantry? And this in many ways is how legacy works. We are the part that we play to turn something small into something significant. We see that everywhere in the created DNA of God, that sperm and egg can become a human being. You're here because of something small, and now, come on. And when we talk about legacy, when we talk about the way that God wants us to be here on the earth, legacy is essentially this. It's what remains beyond you because of what you choose to do today. How many of you know that this man that plants this mustard seed in the ground that becomes a mustard tree, that mustard tree will outlive him? Legacy is what remains beyond you because of what you choose to do today. And often the enemy is not going to attack seed because seed is just potential. And often they won't attack the tree because the tree is not, he can't do anything about the tree. It's already a tree by then. But what he'll attack is the man or the woman. He'll stop you from being that legacy lever. He'll stop you from thinking beyond your own lifetime. And you know, the evidence of you living beyond your own self is lived on in others. And this is the way that God intended for us to be. In fact, you go back to the genesis of humanity, the very first conversation that God speaks to man about when they took their first breath was not about how's your day, how you feeling, how's it going. The first thing that God said to humanity was go be fruitful and multiply. Yes. Go live beyond yourself. I have seeded in you a DNA to think and live and breathe. I've created you to live beyond your own lifetime. I know you've got the whole garden. I know you can just take a chill pill and go on your honeymoon, Adam and Eve, because, you know, and make it all about yourself. No, the first conversation it says to them is go be fruitful and multiply, live with purpose, because what I've got planned for you on the earth lives beyond your time here on the earth. Thank God, God created me to live beyond my own self. How boring would it be just to live, just trying to figure out my own issues and live for my own pleasure? What a horrible, small way to live. Thank God we live a life that God created for us to live way beyond our own selves. Your life lives on beyond you in others. Do you know that? I am a trophy of the legacy of my parents and their parents. Come on. I am the trophy of the legacy of the leaders that have gone before me, that have prayed for me, that have encouraged me. I'm leading you today as a legacy of the leaders that I had before me, that prophesied over me, lay hands on me. Come on. The question is not often, will I leave a legacy or won't I? Often the question is, will I leave a bad one or a good one? Because how many of you know we live on in others, good or bad? Our actions today, what we choose to do, lives on in others and it lives on beyond me. And, you know, we can make decisions today about how we want to live. And when God introduced himself in the Old Testament, before a physical Bible had appeared, way before people had written the books of the Bible, the way God would introduce himself to make himself known, he would say things like, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What was God trying to convey in ancient times? It was the fact that he is a generational God, and I want you to think generationally. Come on. And when we think about generations, the way that generations perpetuate, you need to understand that each person, each generation actually has to do their part in each moment in history to continue to perpetuate the legacy that has been left to them. That's how legacy and generational thinking works. When we think about legacy in the Bible, it's actually played out everywhere. Like I said before, none more so than like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But the three generations I want to unpack for you out of Scripture today are the generations of Jesse, David, and Solomon. Jesse, David, and Solomon. We don't have time to read everything from 1 Samuel chapter 16 to 1 Kings 11. Otherwise, we're going to be here till July. But we parachute into a time in Israel's history where God wanted to choose a new king because King Saul at the time had disobeyed God. He had veered away from God. And it was time God said, okay, I'm done with this guy. Israel needs a new king. So he sends his prophet Samuel, who a prophet at the time was someone who heard from God and acted on behalf of God in the Old Testament. And he was sent by David to go to the house of Jesse. Jesse was a man of upstanding note in the community at the time, and he had many sons. And God said to Samuel, I want you to go to the house of Jesse, and I will show you who to anoint to be the next king of Israel. That is a big job. Yeah. How many of you know that if you were Samuel, you do not want to mess that up? Yeah. And so he gets to the house of Jesse, and Jesse proudly parades, oh, I've got this son here. He's awesome academically. You know, he could be the one. To which God said, no. Samuel said, next one, you know. This other son, he's like really great athletically. No. This other son, he's a great warrior. No. It's like an episode of The Bachelorette, really. You know what I mean? No rose for you. No rose for you. No rose for you. I don't watch that stuff, by the way. I just heard, a friend told me. Jesus help. Until there are no more sons to show. And Samuel actually had to ask Jesse, do you have any more sons? You know something wrong with your parenting when somebody needs to ask you, do you have any more kids? You know what I'm saying? Don't lie. Some of you have forgotten that you have as many kids as you do. To which he says, we will not sit down until he comes in the room. And so here is this moment that happens in Israel's history that's so significant. David, who's out tending sheep, not even acknowledged by his own father, comes in the room. Samuel anoints his head with oil. Incredible, incredible. And so we come upon this conversation of the generations. And here we see, if you think, put yourself in David's position, your own father doesn't acknowledge your own existence. How do you know that is a legacy of rejection? How devaluing and dehumanizing to be someone who's your own father doesn't acknowledge that you're even alive. This is what I sense. Maybe some of you here, when we talk about legacy, there's a certain element of pain that you carry in your heart because you know that maybe you haven't come from fully functioning families. Maybe you haven't come from a family, a background of love. You haven't got a heritage of great love and wholeness and all of these sorts of things. And there's trauma in your past. Maybe there's pain, there's dysfunction, there's brokenness in your family line. Maybe there's bankruptcy, financial turmoil. I want to say this to you today. God has a great plan for you. God has a great plan for you. I'm about to teach this. Can I invite three guys up right now? My three generations of Solomon, Jesse, and David, not in that particular order. How are you guys going to stand? All right, give these guys a big hand. This is Ray, Steve, and Zach. Jesse didn't even acknowledge the existence of David. You can imagine the kind of pain a young man would have grown up with. You can imagine the kind of life, the kind of self-identity he had to get over. Not only did Jesse not leave anything for David, he would have left a legacy of pain. You understand that? You follow me so far?
Yeah.
If you can imagine the context of what it would be like to grow up knowing that your father thinks your brothers are amazing, but you are not even worth coming in the room. You can imagine the kind of box you would have put yourself into emotionally to be in that place where my own dad doesn't even acknowledge me and he only thinks I'm worthy to be a cheese and bread Uber Eats driver to my brothers. His own father, what kind of father sends a son to a war zone unarmed? What kind of father? Think about what that speaks to the life of an emerging, growing, young teenage boy. That your dad would leave this kind of legacy of pain in your life. I can tell you now, if that was the way that Jesse treated David, there would be no financial legacy left for him. There would be nothing. There would be not even a word of encouragement.
Yeah.
And Jesse and David comes to this battle in the valley of Elah, where his brothers were fighting, not even a sword or a spear, but what he had was God in his heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
You need to understand that if you've got God in your heart, it doesn't matter that nobody left you no spiritual legacy. It doesn't matter that you don't have a history of love behind you. You've been grafted into a brand new family of Christ. You've got a new lineage. There is a new bloodline that is in you right now. So David, fully knowing that God is in his heart, his heavenly father was over him, he stoops down with nothing but a shepherd's cloak on his back and a sling in his hand. He stoops down to the river to pick up five stones. Five stones. Five stones is all you need sometimes when you got God. It started with five stones, something small, like a mustard seed or yeast. From that moment on, it marked the coming of age of David. 40 years was the span of David's reign. Across 40 years, what started off as five stones became the wealthiest man in the ancient world at the time. See, in the hands of God, what seemed like insignificant, or maybe no legacy, or maybe a legacy of pain, when you determine in your lifetime that you're going to be a legacy leaver, God can take what little that you have. Come on, are you out there? As he's grafted you into a brand new lineage to turn you into the man or woman God has created for you to be. Do I get a resounding amen? All it takes is a little bit of yeast. All it takes is just five river stones. All it takes is a mustard seed. And as we can see from the life of David, David, over 40 years, amassed wealth so vast that he was the wealthiest person in the world at the time. And so, knowing that, you would have forgiven David for thinking, oh, you know, my dad left me nothing. I'm self-made. I've won all these battles. All of this that I've amassed is the wealth from my loot of all the nations that I've conquered. But if you know that David was not about the money. His life was not about the horses or the chariots, all the trophies, all the battles he's won. David's heart was all about the encounter. His heart was all about the presence of God. And so in his heart, he said, God, I know that my dad left me with nothing. And I know I've got all of this right now, but I want to build you a house. I want to build you a house. That is, I feel like I'm called not to be a warrior, but I'm called to be a worshiper, God. I want to build you a house, to which God said, no. I don't even know, sometimes God shuts doors on us, even though we think they're doors we should walk through, as wonderful as they are. God said, no. David, I know you think And you probably are called to be a worshiper. And I know you feel like you should use your wealth to build a house for me. But because you're a man of war, I want you to pass that legacy on to your son Solomon. You follow me so far? Now, if I was David, I would have felt really gypped. It's like, God, I paid with the blood of my best men to win those battles for you. You want to look at my scars, God? Every time I took down those armies for your glory, now you're telling me I can't do this, which is build a house that I want to build for you? Because it's, catch this, even more than fulfilling his calling, God actually wanted David to leave a legacy. Even more than fulfilling his calling, God wanted David, because God wanted to teach David that you are a legacy leaver. And it says this now in 1 Chronicles 22, verse 5. Now David says, Solomon, my son, is young and inexperienced, and the house to be built for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent, famous and glorious throughout all countries. I will now make preparation for it. So David made abundant preparations for his death. Catch this. Even though Jesse did not acknowledge David, David had a conviction that I will not pass down to my son what my father did to me. Even though he never acknowledged my existence, in front of the entire nation, I am acknowledging my son. This is my son. Come on, are you out there? It says, before my death, I will make abundant preparations. I will give, I will prepare all that is the expression of my life in tangible, exchangeable form, so that you can see that what was not handed to me, I will hand to them. I want to be a legacy leaver. Come on, are you out there? I want to encourage somebody through the screen today. If you're feeling that no one gave you a spiritual legacy, you did not come from a family of faith, your father was not a pastor, you don't have any spiritual heritage, no one gave you a financial heritage, no one gave you a leg up, I want to say this to you today. You are grafted into a brand new family line, and you can be what David was to Solomon, even though Jesse was not that to him. It ended up like this, 1 Chronicles 29. This was the wealth he amassed. David said, moreover, because I've set my affection on the house of my God, I've given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, my own special treasure of gold and silver, 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, which at the time was the highest grade, purest gold, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses, the gold for things of gold, silver for things of silver, and for all kinds of work to be done by the hands of craftsmen, and on it goes. Modern day scholars calculate the value of what David passed on to Solomon as around the $500 million mark. Equivalent to $500 million. What started off with 5 river stones became $500 million. Why? Because, catch this, legacy first begins in your heart before God puts it in your hand. David determined, even as a young boy, 5 smooth stones, I'm going to be a man of legacy. I might just be a shepherd boy with a cloak and a sling and 5 stones, that's all I've got. But in my day and in my time, I am not going to perpetuate the pain that my father put on my life to the next generation. Come on, you need a resounding amen. And because he determined in his heart that he was going to be a legacy leaver, God put it in his hand to leave that legacy. We participate in the miracle of God's work here on the earth when we say yes to being that man that plants that mustard seed. It's a miracle, really, in many ways, how something as tiny as a mustard seed, and that's why Jesus told it, could become a mustard tree where birds nest on it generationally. Oh, I need a resounding amen from you. See, I think sometimes we struggle to be people of legacy because we think like an orphan. Oh, man, I'm going to open up a can of worms. I'm going to go there today. Is that all right? Romans chapter 8 talks about the spirit of sonship. It is what we've been grafted into the family of God. That's why we can cry out, Abba, Father. We have a new identity of being a son or a daughter of God. Do you understand that? But when we don't have a revelation of who we are, being a son or daughter of God, we think like an orphan. We live with an orphan spirit. An orphan spirit is that scrapper, stingy, I'm self-made. I got to keep doing it for myself. No one's going to look after me. I won't look after nobody else. Nothing was passed to me. I won't pass nothing to nobody else. I'm an independent person. That orphan spirit is the reason why we don't live like a person of legacy. When you think like a son and daughter, you always think, I have a father and I will have children. Make sense to you? When you have a generational thinking, when you've got that in your mind, you have this reality that I have come from someone and people will come from me. People before me have made an impact on my life and I will make an impact on others. There is something about the way that Jesus grafted us back into a new family line that does away with that whole thing of being an orphan. And that's why one generation later, David made a conviction. He had a thing in his heart where I will not allow what was not passed to me, essentially labeling me an orphan. I will do away with that and make sure that my son knows that he's got a father. Make sure that the next generation knows that they've got a generation before them that is coming and setting them up to succeed. You follow me so far? Today, I want to encourage you. As David stood up in front of the entire assembly, what he was essentially saying to them was, I am just a link in the legacy chain. You're just a link in the legacy chain. Some of you, you are not part of a chain, but you can start one now. Some of you not raised as a Christian. Some of you were not raised in Christian homes. Some of you raised from great pain and dysfunction and trauma. But I can tell you now, you can start that legacy chain. It can start with you. You might not have been a part of it, but it can start with others here. You have got a great heritage. Maintain the chain. Keep your link strong. I need a resounding amen. Keep your link strong. This is what I love about what David did. David made a decision that he was going to be a link in the legacy chain. And he said, in my time and in my day, I'm going to make a decision to leave what I have forward. Notice how David never saw what he was doing as leaving something behind. He was always talking about the future. There is something about being a generational person that doesn't think about leaving things behind necessarily. You're thinking about leaving something forward. See, when you die, everything you have will be left behind. If you haven't written a will, if you die suddenly tomorrow, some clown somewhere will adjudicate where all your stuff goes, right? But today, when you're alive, you get to make a decision that what I have, what I am today, gets to be left forward. It's gonna go to places and people. Come on, are you out there? That my life right now, I'll make a decision that's gonna, it's the finance and the resource and my time and who I am gets to go to see lost people found that I've never even met yet. See disciples made that I may never meet. To see nations reached that I may never fly to. I need a resounding amen. Yeah. Amen. David. Looking back at his own life, could have said, Jesse, Dad, you left nothing for me. You didn't acknowledge me. See, the people that stood all around the nation hearing this greatest speech that David made, it was the greatest, it's not about me speech I've ever heard in the Bible where David talked about my son Solomon, etc. They would have known the story. He would have had in the front row all of his captains. They would have known the story. This is the story, right? The Bible never talks about who David's mother is. Maybe that's why Jesse didn't acknowledge him. Maybe he had some explaining to do, Jesse. All the other sons he proudly paraded. Hello. Just saying. Left him a legacy of rejection. Devaluing, unacknowledgement. And yet, David was unashamed. He said, this is my son Solomon. You need to know that he will be the new king. Who was Solomon? Solomon was a son of Bathsheba. Who was Bathsheba? The one that he had an affair with. And he could have thought, Solomon could be the product of my shame, or he could be the product of my joy. I choose today. He could be I could label him as my pain or I could label him as my legacy. You choose today. Come on, do I get a resounding amen? This is really what David did. Loudly and clearly, he basically said that your history does not need to define your legacy. Your past does not need to define your future. Come on. The pain of what was yesterday does not need to define the inheritance you set up for your tomorrow. I need a resounding amen from you. Your history does not need to define your legacy. And if I know anything about legacy, it's this. God's not interested in what you accumulate now here on earth. He's interested in what you leave forward for the next generations. Because a day will come, like I taught you a few weeks ago, When you were born with nothing, Paul said to Timothy, and when you die with nothing. Yeah. Hello, some of you go, what about my shoes? My shoe collection. You were born naked? You're going to die naked. David knew this. All of that wealth, all that he amassed over 40 years, all that God has placed in his hands, that was not for him, but that was for the next generation. See, what we spend on ourselves in our lifetime, at best, it becomes a memory. Hello? That expensive bottle of wine you bought, through the mouth, in the toilet bowl. But what we invest in the next generation becomes a legacy. Come on, are you out there? That really expensive degustation you went to, that was nice. In the mouth, in the toilet bowl. Just a memory. Took a few photos, posted on Instagram, went to such and such, tagged the restaurant, everything. It's great. It's fine. But that's not how we live. We may have that experience, but that's not who God created for us to be. In 1 Chronicles 29, verse 26, it says this at the end of David's life. My time is running out. It says, thus David, the son of Jesse, reigned over all Israel. And the period that he reigned over Israel was 40 years, 7 years. He reigned in Hebron, 33 years. He reigned in Jerusalem. So he died in a good old age, full of days and riches and honor. How did he die with riches and honor when he gave everything? In eternity, God says, that's dying with riches and honor. Come on, are you out there? And notice how in verse 26, the writer of Chronicles doesn't address David as King David, just says David, son of Jesse. See, when you go from here, all your titles will mean nothing. When you move on from this life to the next, all the letters after your name will mean nothing. Hello? You will just be so-and-so, son or daughter of such and such. You will just be a person. God sees your life with the potential to be a legacy leaver. Can we give God a big shout of praise? So, Jesse left David no legacy, but David left Solomon everything. But how many of you know that just because you inherited great legacy doesn't mean that you're automatically going to perpetuate great legacy? Solomon actually squandered everything that his father had left for him. Do you know that? Solomon actually squandered everything. Catch this. At the end of Solomon's life, it read very differently to the end of the life of David, which we just read. 1 Kings 11 says this, but King Solomon loved many foreign women. Always starts with that stuff, I'm telling you. As well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites. He had no prejudice. He just was happy with everything. From the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn your hearts away from their God. Solomon clung to these in love, and he had 700 wives, hold up, and 300 concubines. 700 wives, 300. What is wrong with you, bro? You got issues. I have enough trouble keeping one woman happy. 700 wives, three. That's 1,000 women. You will never win an argument for the rest of your life, my friend. What is wrong with you? And it says that they turned his heart away from God. He was completely, in his lifetime, all that David had stored up as a legacy toward him, he blew it on the Moabites and the Ammonites, and there's a little bit of Moabite in my life, a little bit of Ammonite by my side. Let's not go there. A little bit of Edomites, all I need. Oh, I'm feeling it. Mamba number 5. Some of you go, what is wrong with this pastor? You know what it is? I listen to 98.5. These Christian radio stations, they have songs that stick in my head. Where was I? In one generation, Solomon squandered the legacy. Here's the lesson. So you need to know, after Solomon's reign, because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the nation divided, and for 200 years, it was an irreparable legacy. Do you know that every church that is currently meeting today, right across the globe on a Sunday, is only ever one generation away from folding? Do you know that our Christian faith is only ever, in any era in history, ever one generation away from extinction? Do you understand that? It is incumbent upon every generation to be a legacy leader. Come on. It is incumbent upon every single person to understand our place and our standing in this life. And my encouragement to you today is step back into becoming the man or woman God created for you to be. Be a legacy leader. That was the first and most critical conversation that God had with the created Adam and Eve, to live beyond yourself. Can you give these guys a big hand? If you're here today watching through the screen and you're in one of our physical locations, Bunbury, Port Kennedy, Scarborough, Belmont, Phnom Penh, Cork, wherever you are here today in our church as a product or an evidence of the legacy of the people that have gone before you, that have sown into you. This just didn't happen like yesterday. There was no magic wand that ta-da, bang, suddenly you're part of Nations Church. In 2004, a small group of people gathered together and we were planted out from the church called Perth Christian Life Center 17 years ago. It feels like yesterday. 17 years ago, and a handful of us gathered together and we met in living rooms and we took up the first offering, the first seed, financial offering to plant. It wasn't called Building Our Future at the time. It was only a year later after the church planted that we called it Building Our Future. But it was before the church was planted, and we took up $19,700. We bought data projector, we bought PA gear, we bought portable, this and portable that, cups and saucers and all of that sort of thing. There was a time in our history as a church where everything we owned fitted into that. Think about that for a moment. Joseph and Lynn, you were there. There was a time where everything that we had as a church fitted into that. That was our mustard seed. Thank God that over 17 years, there were men and women that decided we're not going to leave the mustard seed on the shelf. Come on, are you out there? That we're going to continue to be that man and woman that plants it, takes that yeast to mix it, knead it into 60 pounds of dough so it come on, so the dough can rise. There's something about us understanding that we didn't want to leave it at that. We didn't want that to just be, oh, there's a nice potential, isn't it, for this church? But we understood that what was in that trailer was the seed that had one day the potential to become the mustard tree that we now, generations now can nest. Come on, are you out there? What we had in 2004 all fitted in that trailer. And over 17 years, that trailer has become this. Waiting for it to become something. That'd be good. We own most of what is in there. And you need to understand that this is not glorifying of anything, man. But it's a spiritual principle. Yeah. This is a miracle. Things don't like this don't just happen because we wish it to happen. We participated in the miracle. Come on. Like some of you are parents right now. Your kids don't just become amazing adults. You are participating in the miracle. It looks like there's no miracle happening right now with my kid, but you are participating in the miracle of them becoming what they were. Come on, as little babies to the men and women that they are gonna be one day. You are participating in the process of the miracle. What fitted in a trailer is now this today. But we cannot be the Solomon generation to say, oh, that's awesome. A little bit of Belmont, come on. A little bit of Port Kennedy is all I need. A little bit of Murray by my side. We can't, that's just not how we wanna live. Come on. We can't be the Jesse generation that makes no regard for the next. Neither can we be the Solomon generation that squanders what we've been given. We gotta be the David generation. Come on. We gotta be the David generation. I want to speak to you today, Bunbury. You need to know that we've got a building in store for that Southwest region. Come on. Port Kennedy campus, you need to know that we purchased that whole space that you're in right now, meeting right now, listening to me, and all the cars that are parked on that land right now. We purchased that 5 years ago. That build and purchase of the land was $1.5 million. In the last 12 months, you gave $62,000 to Building Our Future. It's time to stand up again because there is more, I reckon, in the city of Rockingham. I believe that the city of Kwinana is going to be one for Jesus. Come on, do I get a resounding amen? There's more expansion coming for the entire region. Belmont, I want to speak to you. That building is an old legacy building that we inherited and we paid off the debt for that. But across the last 2 years, we've sunk in about $850,000 to do up that entire facility where you're in right now, plus the foyer area. But this year, we're also embarking on stage two, which is the whole kids' next gen wing. And this is what I'm believing for. I'm believing that building there, that facility is there, is going to outlive every single one of you that are listening to my voice right now. God has got something planned for the city of Belmont. We're going to crack that place open. God has got revival in store for that whole city shire. God is going to use you. It's time to build the future. The last 12 months, you gave $41,000. It's time to be standing up again. These buildings were paid for in advance in Belmont and Port Kennedy by the collective, but it's time for you to sow into again for what God wants to do in our church. Myri, I want to speak to you. On the 21st of November, this will be no more. This will be at Plail Street on the 21st of November. We obviously own where we're in right now. The banks own that. It's a $14.5 million land and build. We're obviously going to be selling this. I'm not going to put how much we want to sell this for because it's going to be on record. I'm just believing that God is going to find the best seller for us at the best price so we can lower the debt. And I'm believing that every single person here is going to take up the charge to leave a legacy. I'm prophesying that Plail Street location for our Myri campus is going to see thousands of people that are lost. They're going to be found. We're going to see thousands of disciples made that some of you may never meet. We're going to reach nations that some of you may never step foot on in Jesus' name. Come on, are you out there? I'm believing that God is going to use our Phnom Penh campus that we've built a building for. God is going to use that to reach the entire nation of Cambodia. When it reopens out of COVID, we're going to buy our first building in Cork one day. I prophesy that. It's going to be our first building in Europe. When people say that it's impossible, how dare you think like that? Well, God thinks like that. How dare you think generationally? Well, God thinks like that. Our online campus, you don't get off easy either. I know some of you are like in under your blanket right now with your cup of tea in your bathrobe. You get to be a legacy leaver too, in Jesus' name. All that you're seeing right now is because others have built the future to create the infrastructure that can even get this word of God into your living room right now. And I want to encourage you, be a legacy leaver. Don't forget that it all began with a trailer. Can we give Jesus a big shout of praise? Come on, why don't you stand to your feet? Musicians, you can join me. You know, it's in moments like these that I had kind of toyed with whether I should be mentioning it, but this morning in my office, I felt really emotional as I walked down and saw the trailer, and I thought about the message that I would be sharing today. I just want to say thank you to, even though they're not here, I want to say thank you to all of the people over the last 17 years of Nations Church that have sown to build the future. They have now graduated to eternity. You don't know them, some of you. But I tell you what, they're in the group called the So Great a Cloud of Witnesses. That are saying to every single person within the sound of my voice today, saying, please, don't break the link in the legacy chain. Don't you stop. Don't you stop in your time and in your day. Don't you stop in this season. Don't be a Solomon to squander so much of what has already been laid for you. I prophesy over our children. I prophesy over the youth. I prophesy over the young adults that are in our church right now that will one day be adults, that will one day have children. My prayer for them is that they will look back at us sometime in the future. They're going to be so grateful that we became the man or the woman that took our mustard seed. Didn't eat it or leave it on the shelf, hoard it for ourselves, but planted it in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give God a big shout of praise? On the 20th of June, we're having our Building Our Future Sunday. That's 3 Sundays from now. But I want you to speak to God about what your contribution and what your legacy will be. Chrissy and I, whenever we come around these sort of Sundays, we don't ask you to give. We're asking you to give with us. So would you just take that envelope that's on your seat right now that's got Building Our Future written on it. If you're here as a couple, you want to participate in that, just hold it in your hand because we're going to pray together. Father, we just thank you that you didn't create us to live just for ourselves. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you seeded in us the DNA of being legacy leavers, of people that live beyond our own lifetime. We thank you that trailers can become multi-generational facilities. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that mustard seeds can become mustard trees that birds can nest on, perpetuate their generations because of the choice of the man to take it and plant it. We thank you, Lord God, that our church will not be extinct after one generation, that it will live on well beyond our lifetime in Jesus' name. And Father God, we thank you that you are the God that makes a way in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Come on, why don't we sing across all worship teams, all campuses right now.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.